with my strange accent. Hopefully it'll at least, if you might remember some of the things I say just because I have an accent, and that's what I can hope, at least it can give me a bit of leeway to talk a little bit longer, you know, maybe, you know, say a few things, and maybe, you know, they won't be understood. Whoa, better not do that again. We read from Matthew today, and our really where our thinking today is about anxiousness or anxiety. I wonder if you've ever heard the phrase said about someone, "He's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good." It's the same back home in Northern Ireland. You've probably heard the phrase, but you've probably not heard it in a very positive way. But when it comes to things in life, that we worry about them. And being heavenly minded actually might do us some good when it comes to anxiety. Because everyone worries about something. For the people in Jesus' day, food and clothing are perhaps the two biggest things that you're going to worry about most. For the simple reason that Israel is a pretty dry country and relies on good weather for crops to grow. And no man controls the weather. And when something is out of your control, what tends to happen is you tend to worry about it. In the ancient world as well, you don't have a target down the road. But clothes are an essential item to live. If your cloak gets stolen, taken or lost, it's quite a big deal. Maybe think of it like losing your car. It really matters to your life. Now, having no food and no clothes are probably not they're not really a problem for most of us, I would say. In fact, our problem is probably that we have too much food and too many clothes. But hunger is an issue for the vast majority of the world. It's actually even a problem here in America. In Philadelphia, where we're living at the minute, we were in the center of the city last week, and it was pretty shocking how many homeless people were in the city. Clothes and food really matter to those people. Even the government has to subsidize about 20% of families in Philadelphia for their food. When it comes to clothes, we might be more worried about how we look. What's in and what's out? What's the latest fashion? The average person in the USA spends $1,700 a year on clothes. We often think we need to look good, or we worry about what others will think about how we look. Food and clothing are basic things in life. Those things matter to the people in Jesus' day and the people that Jesus is addressing, and it's why Jesus starts there. But the application can go further. Life is just full of things to worry about, and they're different for every person. An actor once remarked, "When I don't have anything to worry about, I worry about that." See, everyone worries about something. You might take a moment to think about those things yourself. What do you worry about? But is there an answer to anxiety? Is there a cure? Can I be in this world without worry? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The kingdom of God is the answer to anxiety. It's a kingdom with three aspects, and there's three aspects that I want to look at this morning. It's a kingdom that is now, a kingdom that's here. It's a kingdom that's not yet fully here. And it's a kingdom that has a glorious king. So let's first think about the kingdom that's now. So life is full of anxiety, but the thing Jesus wants to get at here is our worry and our anxiety is not to control us. For the simple reason that all things in this earth are under God's control. Worry and anxiety at its core is about trust. And have you ever thought about worrying that way? Worry is a lack of trust. We worry because we do not trust we will get what we desire, that we'll get what we need. Often it's either because we think that God doesn't care to give us what we need, or that God actually can't give us what we need. And Jesus doesn't really let those two ideas stand together. God is in control of everything we see here now. He can give us what we need. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. The Lord has the power, authority, and control of this world to give. He feeds the birds of the air. He clothes the lilies of the field. Nature is in God's hands. And in his hands, he cares for it. There's a divine simplicity to what Jesus says. The birds don't worry about life. Have you ever seen a bird sitting on a telegraph pole worrying about life? Flowers don't wish to be clothed in a different colour. They don't worry. They just go about their business and the Lord provides for them. They just go about doing what they're ordained or called to do. And how much of worry is concerned with what ifs, rather than a simple trust that your needs will be met by a God who's in control of all things and knows all things? There's a simplicity to trust and a real complexity to worry. And which of you being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? The Lord's control of the now extends to your life. Your life on this earth is not a surprise to God. He doesn't sit on his cosmic throne saying, I didn't see that one coming. Being anxious does not add things to your life, it only steals things. Anxiety is a thief. It steals your time, it steals your thoughts, and it steals your emotions. The Lord is in control of the now, and only he can give you what your worry can't. God also cares and will give to those who are in his kingdom. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Well, yes, you are. No animal was created in God's image and likeness. No animal was handcrafted and breathed into by God. Man holds a special place in creation. If God cares for the rest of it, why not for you? In the kingdom light, he is your heavenly Father. What father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? A father knows what his children need and gives to them accordingly. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? God cares and God gives. His kingdom and rule is now. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Father knows before you ask him. The Father knows what you need. I used to have an old evangelist that discipled me when I was a young Christian, and he always used to say to me, you know what? God provides for your needs, but not your greeds. We have a God who is a Father. He gives us what we need. Not what we desire, not what we think we should have, but what we need. Why pray if God knows? Because in prayer we're brought closer into relationship with the giver of all things. we start to see clearer why things may be as they are. We may gain strength by facing adversity because we know that giver. We come to a Father who's in control of the things in this world. A Father who can actually hold our fears because we can tell him our fears and he can free us from them. The kingdom of God is now. But the kingdom of God is yet to come in its fullness. The kingdom's not yet fully here. So often our worries can take over our lives, and I know people with that exact problem. When worry happens, it sort of takes center stage, and it's like someone's put blinkers on them that they can't see anything else but their worry. And worry often makes us lose that perspective. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? It's a kind of question that answers itself. It speaks to a transcendent truth in our souls. Your life and my life is more than food. Every starving man, like the homeless people I met in the streets of Philadelphia, they're living for something beyond their next meal. Even every greedy man wants something more than the next buffet. Having food for the day is just a temporal need. It brings no lasting comfort because we all get old and we all face death. Our body is more than clothes. Even the supermodel wants to be thought of as a person. Even looks too are temporal. They fade over time. Madonna might dress like she's 22, but no one's going to mistake her for a 22-year-old. Ecclesiastes says this: he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's hearts, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. Food and clothes don't grant salvation. They don't prolong life. They don't combat age. Ultimately, material worries do not last. For this simple reason, this world will not last. We know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For those in the kingdom, our worries are guided by a kingdom that's coming. A not yet reality. Because there's a time coming when the kingdom of God will come in fullness. A restoration of the world. A restoration of our bodies. And the freedom from the temporal needs of an earthly life. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The kingdom is not yet here, but we can look forward to it coming. The antidote for anxiety is to enter that kingdom, to look to that kingdom and the one who's king of it. The kingdom that's now, the kingdom that's not yet. But how do you enter? Will you bring yourself under the submission to that king? That's maybe a first submission, but that continues in a daily deeper submission. For the kingdom has a king, and we know his name. His name is proclaimed through Scripture. The king is Jesus. He has shown what it means to have no anxiety. He has fully trusted in the Father to provide for his every need in this world. He has faced all manner of hardship, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days, goaded by Satan, turned these stones into bread, Son of Man. He could have done it. Yet his response was that of trust. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Surrounded by crowds wanting more of his time, disciples who never understood him, Pharisees and scribes always tried to catch him out. No place to lay his head. He was betrayed and beaten, spat at and mocked. The clothes are stripped from his back. If a man deserved to be clothed in dignity, it was him. Yet he was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He is shown how to trust in God, in a kingdom that's now. Even when it appears broken, even when it appears hopeless, even when it appears like we should not trust God, he's gone through the kingdom that we live in, the kingdom that's now, in perfect obedience without worry. He has walked a path with far more opportunity to worry than any of us may ever hope to face. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has not only been present and suffered in this world and died in it, but he was raised to new life. He is the firstborn of the new creation. He's the firstborn of this new kingdom. His body and his resurrection is our assurance that anxiety and worry will banish. He has entered into that kingdom that's not yet fully here for us. A kingdom that is not of this world. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. He drinks and eats at the Father's table. He has food in abundance. He is clothed in royal priestly robes, clothed in finer garments than we can imagine. Of his power and dominion there is no end, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. He has entered into the not yet kingdom, and he has promised for those who trust in him that they have died with him, that they have been raised with him, so that they might reign with him in his kingdom glory. You see, as Christians, as people who trust in Jesus, we have an eternal destination. We have a place where fears and worries will be banished. He's given us a helper in the Holy Spirit, a spirit not of fear but of power, a guarantee of that kingdom that we will inherit in Christ. Where's the need to worry when the worries of this world will pass away? Will you lay hold of the promise of that eternal destination and trust in Christ? The kingdom has a king. We must bring ourselves under his lordship every day and in every thought, and continue to do that. To take every thought in our lives captive for Christ, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our worries disappear when we realize the kingdom is now. He has shown us how to trust, and he's provided for our every need today. Our worries disappear when we realize the kingdom is not yet. He's showing us the glory that awaits, and he's entered into it in his resurrection life. And he assures us that he'll bring a people with him. Our worries disappear when we look to that king. He's passed through the now, suffered in this life as he says we will suffer. He's entered into that kingdom of glory. He's a king we can know personally as Lord and grow in trust of this day and all days forever. Praise be to God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are Lord over all things. Lord, that in all things you have sovereign control. You have the power to give, Lord, and you have the power to take away. Lord, you know each of us individually, Lord. You know our needs and you care for us. Lord, we thank you that we do not have a God who is unable to sympathize with us, but in all ways a God who can and will and does sympathize with us. Lord, we pray in our weakness that we might trust in you more, that we might look to your promise of that kingdom. Lord, that we might look to the sufferings of Christ, Lord, and count our blessings, that he has suffered and died in our place. Lord, help us trust in you more each day for all days. In Jesus' name, amen.